Please turn to Mark 9, verses 35 through 37. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. In order to correct the immature and foolish thinking of his disciples, as we previously heard, Jesus sat down to teach them with the truth. When a rabbi sat in those days, he assumed the place of authority over his students. When Jesus sat down, his men knew they needed to listen up. When Jesus begins to teach, he speaks of a great paradox. He tells them that the way to greatness is through serving others. He tells them that the door to the first place is located in the servants' quarters. The word servant in verse 35 is the same word that's translated deacon elsewhere in the New Testament. The word refers to those who wait tables. The literal meaning of the word is to kick up dust. It is the image of a servant kicking up little puffs of dust as he moves from one duty to another duty. Strong words. Jesus is teaching his men the truth that true greatness is achieved through the humble service of others. That is a lesson that has been lost in our day, especially here in the West. Some people think they deserve respect and preferential treatment just because they occupy a certain position. If you attend preachers' meetings, you encounter this attitude all the time. There are some men who walk around like little, proud peacocks, waiting for others to fawn over them and tell them how great they are. When you go to a pastor's conference, the first words that you will hear is, So how many people you have at your church? Have you written any books? Are you selling any CDs or tapes or what is it? What is the sales? What is the amount of activity? How much activity you got going on there? What is going on over there? What great things are taking place? If you really want others to respect you, then just serve them. Put them before yourself and meet their needs, forgetting about your needs. Give them the first seat without wanting anything in return. When we humble ourselves, the Lord will exalt us in due time. Matthew 23:12 tells us, And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, will be put down. The Lord is serious about that. Many have experienced that. Many have been humbled under the hand of God. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference to one another. What do you want to do with that text? Giving preference to one another. As I said, you meet people at conferences and they knock each other over to get to the quote superstar. I want to get his autograph. Can you imagine that? You want the autograph of a servant. It shows you the idolatry of it all. Because some preacher has put his name on a Bible or sold a lot of books, a lot of tapes, goes to a lot of conferences. You want his signature on your book, on your Bible. Now, do you think that that's right? I just can't see people lining up to get John the Baptist's signature, Jeremiah's signature. Oh, Jeremiah signed that. Oh, John the Baptist signed that. All this is marketing technique. People sign books, sign Bibles. I mean, it's one thing signing a book, that's bad enough, but then signing Bibles? Jesus Christ is the star. We're not the star. We're absolutely drunk with that in this society. Everybody wants to be the star. Everybody wants the story to be about them. This story is about Jesus Christ. This story is about saving others. This story is about giving honor and preference to others. Not to yourself. Not to yourself. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that for this purpose, he may exalt you in due time. He may exalt you in due time. To put an even finer point on what Jesus is teaching, Jesus takes a child and places him before the disciples. We see in verse 36 of Mark 9. He tells them that if they will receive a child in his name, in fact, he is in fact receiving both the Son and the Father who sent him. You get the Father and you get the Son. The word receive carries the idea of displaying hospitality. In those days, hospitality was everything. When a person showed up at your house, you were expected to receive them and to serve them, meeting all of their needs. Jesus is telling us that when we serve the least among us, we are in reality serving him. And by serving him, we're serving his Father as well. Jesus could have just told them this. Why did he use a child? I think there's several reasons. First, children in that society were at the bottom of the social ladder. They were viewed as mere property and largely ignored by most adults. Secondly, Jesus used a child to teach his disciples about service because children really can't do anything for adults. A child cannot enhance a person's position in society. A child cannot add to your success. A child can't make you more important in the eyes of the world. However, a child can certainly teach you about ministry. Think about it. Every parent listening knows what happens when you have a new baby. That child demands everything. From day one, it must be served. Every need must be met by a willing adult. Children come into our homes and they take constant care and attention. If they're ignored, they'll let you know all about it in loud and irritating words and passion. When parents have children, they learn what giving and service are all about. When that child is born, you give and you give and you give and you give. When that child grows, you give and you give and you give and you give. Often, even after they reach adulthood, you give and you give and you give and you give. Jesus used a child because children need to be served. But they cannot serve us in return. That is a lesson we all need to take to heart. Too often, we only serve those who can do something in return for us. The Lord would have us reach out to those who are the neediest He would have us serve those who cannot or even will not serve us in return. He desires that we do as he did and give our all for those who may break our hearts in return. That wouldn't be too popular. Get a broken heart, you get nothing in return. You get laughed at, mocked, spit upon. You pour out your life into other people and you get absolutely nothing in return. That's not too appealing to the flesh. Often the church will reach out. But when we do, we often reach out to people who are like us. Just look at the people that you belly up to in church. Clickish. We look for those we think would be a blessing to the church. We want people with money, with talent, with potential. We look for people who can help us become a success. That's one of the reasons why this approach to ministry today with management techniques and marketing techniques and everything is so deadly. You're looking for people with potential, with talent, with money. You look for people that'll help you become successful, just like the world does. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he had a habit of reaching out to people who could do nothing for him in return. Nothing. Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain, the Gadarene demoniac, Bartimaeus, the dying thief, etc. That is what Jesus did the night before he died. His disciples were so busy about arguing about who should be the greatest that not one of them would humble himself and wash the feet of the others, as was the custom of the day. When Jesus and his disciples finished their meal in the upper room, Jesus put a towel around his waist and washed the disciples' feet. You can find the account of that in John 13, verses 1 through 17. Jesus Christ took the place of a slave and washed the dirty feet of men who had run away before dawn. That's to be our attitude, brothers and sisters. There's no way around it. That's what it means. Don't look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek. It still means the same thing. Jesus took the place of a slave and washed the dirty feet of men who were run away from him before dawn. And that is supposed to be our approach. That, if you're in the ministry, that's to be our approach to the ministry. The place of a slave washing the dirty feet of people who basically have run away before dawn in some way, shape, or form. The Lord washed the feet of Peter, who would deny him, three times before dawn. He even washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. Betray him into the hands of his enemies that very night. Jesus freely served those who would break his heart. You want a broken heart? Get in the ministry. I guarantee you, you will get a broken heart. Again and again and again and again and again. And the only question is, will you continue with a broken heart or will you harden your heart in the ministry? And unfortunately, after many broken hearts, many people harden their heart. Because they were looking for something else in the ministry. That's what I can promise you. If you want to get in the ministry, you'll get a broken heart. Christ served those who would break his heart. And when the next day dawned, Jesus performed the greatest service of all. When he went to Calvary to die on the cross for sinners who hated him and wanted nothing to do with him. People hate you, want nothing to do with you, disappointing you, breaking your heart. Jesus set the example for us. He was a servant of the neediest people of all. You want to be great? Go serve the neediest people. Christ was a servant to those who could never repay him. He was a servant to those who would fail him, deny him, and dishonor him. You want to be failed? You want to be denied? You want to be dishonored? Become a servant to all of those around you. Christ was a servant to you. and mankind when he died on the cross. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. See, true Christianity is not I and me. And that's basically most people's worldview of life, is I and me. I want, I can, I will not. It's all about me. That's what destroys most marriages. You got two people going, I, or me, as opposed to you. How can I bless you? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I lay down my life for you? How can I serve you? We need to set our hearts on those who need Jesus Christ, without regard for what they can bring to the table or contribute to the church. We need to fulfill our Lord's command to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Servants, we need to wash the feet of those around us, regardless of their position in society, their ability to help us, or their power and influence. We need a heart that is willing to serve the least among us for the glory of God alone. That's what we're being called to. A heart that is willing to serve the least among us for the glory of God alone. See, serving the least, serving those that can give you nothing in return, that'll break your heart. Serving them is not going to be much glory in it. I'm going back to the last message I did about glory hounds. We're hungry for glory. We want the glory. We want the preferential treatment. We want to be first. We want to be exalted. We want to be everything opposite. That's what's taking place in the text that the Lord is teaching. The truth be told, we're just like the disciples in the text. We're disputing among ourselves. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And in reality, we start the dispute with the Holy Spirit when he's pressing us to servanthood. And we're arguing with him about how we want to be the greatest. Of course, we won't say that we don't want to be the greatest. We won't say that to the Holy Spirit. We'll just make all kinds of excuses why we can't. Why we can't serve the least. We'll give all kinds of excuses. Sober words today, brothers and sisters. Sober words. I know myself, I have to check myself constantly. Because we're all at heart glory hounds. We want the glory. We take it, we pursue those things in the church just like we pursued success and being first in the world. We bring that same mentality with us into the church. And the Lord says, no, I do business a little differently than the world. I'm looking for humble servants. Those are the people that I'll exalt. And you know what you get when he exalts you? More broken hearts and more servants and more feet to wash. So if that's what you're looking for in the ministry, well, hallelujah. There's a lot of dirty feet out there and a lot of broken people. But if you're looking to be first and look for the glory, then beware, because the Lord said he would humble those that exalt themselves. Those are not my words. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Lord will humble those that exalt themselves. So may the Lord bless you today, my brothers and sisters.